This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon, Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The head of the U.S. Department of the Interior visited Alaska on Thursday and spoke about Alaska's role in national and international energy security. Secretary Doug Burgum and his team were traveling to the U.S.-sponsored Indo-Pacific Energy Security Ministerial and Business Forum in Tokyo, Japan. They had a stopover at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport and were joined by Governor Mike Dunleavy. Burgum noted the increased importance of the conference with the ongoing war in the Middle East and its effect on energy markets. Burgum spoke to the press about the concept of energy dominance, saying the department's goal is to ensure that energy in the U.S. is affordable and reliable. And he says the department also wants U.S. allies and territories in the Pacific to have a secure energy supply.
Where that energy best come from? It would best come from Alaska. There's no straits, there's no threats, there's no terrorist countries that are blocking it. For 50 years, there's been LNG flowing to our allies uninterrupted in Asia.
In response to a reporter's question, Burgum spoke about the proposed Alaska LNG project, a pipeline designed to transport natural gas from the North Slope to the Kenai Peninsula. Burgum says his team plans to talk to more companies about offtake agreements at the conference in Tokyo. A final decision on whether to build the proposed pipeline hasn't been announced, but he says the project is in progress.
It's real, it's moving ahead, and I'd say it's needed more than ever right now in the world because of what we're seeing. Energy dominance is about energy abundance. Alaska can play a huge role in that, and that's going to be, you know, great for Alaskans, great for America, and great for the world.
One aspect of the Department of Interior's work in Alaska is the Federal Subsistence Management System, which prioritizes hunting and fishing for rural residents on federal lands. The system is currently under review. The Safari Club International recently filed a petition to reform the Federal Subsistence Board by giving more weight to the state of Alaska. Burgum did not speak about the review specifically, but said in general the department is working to ensure Alaskans have more control over the decisions in their state without the federal government getting in the way. The secretary also spoke about the need for the Ambler Road to support development in that region and increase the supply of critical minerals. He says the need is more urgent given China's control over the production of those resources. Burgum also said the federal government is discussing ways to finance the road, which he says is considered as a private corridor for industry. The Tanana Chiefs Conference full board of directors on Thursday elected Sharon Hildebrand of Nulato as the organization's next chief and chairman. Hildebrand, who has been serving as the TCC vice president, beat out incumbent chief and chairman Brian Ridley of Eagle and Daryl Hildebrand, also of Nulato. She will serve a 3-year term in the organization's top leadership role and takes over effective immediately. In candidate speeches earlier this week, Sharon Hildebrand delivered a people-focused message, emphasizing the importance of listening, building relationships, and putting faith in one another. She continued that thread after the vote when accepting her new position on stage Thursday.
You are Tanana Chiefs. You are our people. You make us stronger. All of you, together, we can do this.
The vote for the chief and chairman position came on the fourth day of the TCC annual convention and full board of directors meeting. A runoff was required between Sharon Hildebrand and Ridley to determine the victor after a majority failed to emerge during the first round of voting. Ridley, formerly the chief finance officer at TCC, assumed the top leadership position at the organization in 2022 after former chief and chairman PJ Simon was recalled. He was elected to the seat for his first full term in 2023. In his candidate speech on Wednesday, Ridley said he was proud to be a part of something bigger than himself, and he said that he's developed leadership and advocacy skills that he wanted to keep using.
As we look ahead, continuity and leadership matters. Today, more than ever, we need strong, trusted, and experienced leadership to help protect our ways of life and guide our region forward through the difficult times ahead.
After the vote Thursday, Ridley said he didn't expect the outcome and that he hoped to continue serving the TCC region. He initially said he'd be willing to fill the vice president role vacated by Hildebrand, but he later declined the nomination, saying he'd instead seek his old job as the TCC chief finance officer. Rhonda Pitka of Beaver was chosen to fill the vice president vacancy. The Alaska State Board of Education is establishing an ad hoc committee for Mount Edgecumbe High School, a state-run boarding school in Sitka that serves mostly Alaska Native students from rural communities. The temporary committee will look into various aspects of the school, from academics to school climate, and will make recommendations to the board next fall. Its formation was requested by Mount Edgecumbe's Alumni Advisory Board to address mounting concerns about conditions at the school, though administrators say the situation is improving. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Last fall, a group of alumni and a handful of former and current staff raised concerns about conditions at Mount Edgecumbe High School. They said a high number of students were being treated for suicidal ideation and, due to staffing and budget cuts, had less access to mental health services. Enrollment, they said, was dropping precipitously. A group of lawmakers visited the school in February and found the facilities warranted additional scrutiny, with leaks, exposed wires, and a rat living in the gymnasium that students named Tiptoes. Superintendent David Langford told the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development that 104 students have left the school as of March. That's about 25% higher than normal. While he said there are a lot of reasons students leave, he attributed the deteriorating facilities to longtime funding cuts.
This isn't like a problem this year. This is a problem decades in the making. Funding not coming through, projects not being managed, maintenance not being upkept, and funding being cut. Six, seven years ago, we had seven maintenance people, and today we have one and a half. They just can't do everything that needs to be done.
Langford gave similar remarks in February to the House and Senate Education Committees alongside Education Commissioner Dina Bishop. They highlighted the improvements they've made, like replacing dorm furniture and upgrading bathrooms, and maintenance needs they're working to address, including replacing the roof and ventilation system for the boys' dorm in May. Board member Pamela Duprat is a Mount Edgecumbe alumni.
Those photographs were pretty deplorable and saddening to see because that isn't the Edgecumbe that I remember. So I'm glad that a lot of those are being addressed.
Langford was hired as superintendent last year after already accepting a job overseeing the Chatham School District. The state board approved his appointment and Chatham agreed to him taking on the second job. Then last month, Mount Edgecumbe's Alumni Advisory Board voted to recommend the state reopen the hiring process, this time with input from the board and other stakeholders. Duprat said the board had received feedback about reopening the position, but it also received positive input on the progress school leaders had made and asked for clarification about the mixed messaging.
We have been receiving emails, and the emails ask for recall for the superintendent, and then the second part of that was the committee. And from what I'm hearing is we are getting a lot of input from the community. A lot of things are being addressed. So what are the continued issues if these things are being addressed that you are facing?
Commissioner Bishop said much of the recent feedback about the school has been positive, and a lot of the issues that remain are, quote, adult issues.
As concerns come in, we go and address them. And I would say a lot of these concerns were more about adults than they were students and what they were receiving. So I do believe that, that we're moving forward with sorting out the adult issues and moving forward in the right direction for kids.
She said while some advisory board members were interested in reopening the superintendent hire, she believed it would be a critical error. She said Langford was the right fit given his background in business and history with the school, and said she didn't include the advisory board in the process because the hire had to happen quickly.
And there was a reason why David was selected to be able to bring Mount Edgecumbe, you know, pairing what had been done on the cultural side, bringing that strength back to the management side and other leadership is a need there. And I did exercise what I can. Folks that know me know when there's time to hire, we do engage a larger group. But this was critical. School needed to be opened.
While the state's Board of Education did not signal any plans to reopen hiring for the school's top position, it did move forward with one of the advisory board's recommendations, the formation of an ad hoc committee for the school. The temporary committee will be comprised of students, staff, alumni, and other stakeholders who will spend the next spring and summer gathering information on the school and will return to the Board of Education next fall with its findings and recommendations. The board approved the formation of the committee unanimously. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganamchid coming up.